baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
I have some bad news for you, Scott. This next comment is from Marcus G, who, if you remember the debacle we had last week with restarting the show every 5 minutes.
So yes.
Marcus says, should we even release this, in quotes, is the new slogan for the Walk Off Podcast. I mean, yeah, and here's the extra bad news is that, and I'm not even just saying this, we have not been recording for the last 20 minutes. I'm sorry, we're recording now. That look on your face. I really wish I
was kidding. Are you joking, buddy? You're really, kidding, right?
I really wish I was kidding. Okay, so next comment we've got from Kyle on Instagram says, Shohei Ohtani who? Albert Pujols is now the best hitter to ever pitch in the MLB. I mean, let's talk about that story. So, playing for the St. Louis Cardinals. Sorry, that was a football reference. They were up, 15-2 late against the Giants? And Albert Pujols came in to pitch. I loved everything about that. Did not pitch well. Was just throwing absolute 54 watermelons in there. Gave up two home runs. But hey, I mean, it was very cool to see. If this is the Albert Pujols farewell tour, then I like seeing that sort of stuff. I'm glad that they're having fun with him. I mean, if you're going to throw in any position player at that point anyways, of course he's the guy to go in there. So
yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. I know a friend of the show and good buddy of ours, Trevor Freeman, he sent us a little stat, and it was like, players who have 600-plus home runs and have pitched, Babe Ruth, Albert Pujols, end of list.
Very cool. Very cool. Speaking of Albert Pujols' home run totals, Babe Ruth has 714, one of, three players to hit 700 home runs?
Mm-hmm.
So Albert Pujols has a chance to be the fourth. He's currently at 681 for career home runs. He has two this year through 17 games. So he's not an everyday player. He plays about half the games. He's on pace for nine home runs. I don't think he gets to 700 this year.
Yeah,
I don't think
he's going to do it. Yeah.
Do you think he comes back next year and tries it one more time?
Nope. I think he's done.
That bums
me out
so
much. I think him and Yadi ride off into sunset together, personally.
That bums me out. But that also, like, when we talk milestones and, like, I mean, we talked the Joey Votto significance of 300, 400, 500, right? And being part of that 18-person club. Like, this is why milestones are significant, right? Like, 500 home runs is a big deal. There's a lot of guys with 495 home runs, right? Like, or not a lot, but,
yeah,
you know, there are a lot of guys with 650 to 699 home runs. It is tough. Like, that's the point. When you get to that point in your career and you're 70 years old, like, it is hard to hit the ball out. So 700 is a big deal, but it's going to be wild to see him end up with like 690 and blame the dead ball on that. All right. Next one we've got from Twitter. But before we do that, I just want to say welcome to the Monday morning mailbag every Tuesday afternoon.
So you weren't fucking with me. You actually didn't hit record?
Scott, you'll see when it goes live, I guess, what happened.
I hate this.
Yeah, so we record the pre-show for the Patreon, which, by the way, 25-minute long pre-show. We should probably just release that as the mailbag today. At the end of that, as I'm counting us in, I stop that recording, and then I start a new one. The new one didn't get started. So
Okay.
Yeah, here we are. I mean, we didn't get too far. We did get a couple silly comments. One comment about us starting super chats for the long toss. We can get to that another time. We talked Nestor Cortez and the Twitter thing. Is he going to be canceled? We had some very insightful thoughts there. We won't bother bringing that up again because there's no way we can be that insightful and articulate on such a sensitive topic for a second time.
Twice.
Sad I missed the recording there. That's genuinely a big bummer. All right, let's move on with the Monday morning mailbag, shall we? I'm sorry to everyone listening to this, but like mostly I'm sorry to Scott because fuck, I'm just really sorry. I'm embarrassed. Okay, moving on. This one comes in from Twitter. Down to Puck 69 on Twitter shot us a DM and said, "Hey boys, is Kikuchi fixed? Tonight's game was awesome." That was last night's game against the Mariners. "And he looked really good in his start against the Yanks, too. I don't want to jump off the deep end here, but could we have just turned Yusei Kikuchi into Robbie Ray?" Your thoughts, Scott?
Okay, well, he did say he didn't want to jump off the deep end, and I feel like that's a pretty big jump off the deep end there. But he does make a really good point. Kikuchi has looked excellent and has improved in each of his last three starts. He had a couple rough ones to start the season. P. Walker has smoothed out his delivery. You don't see that little hesitation anymore. He's combined that cutter and slider into, for lack of a better term, a slutter, if you will. And he still, I don't know if you folks have noticed, but he still will slip that cutter in there here and there. Just that, like, you know, little wrinkle in his approach. His fastball hits 97, 98 from the left side is so fast and so difficult to hit. He pitched incredible last night. He allowed one hit. I mean, the game before against the Yankees, he what, allowed one hit also?
Like, two hits the game before.
Two hits? Man. Pete Walker, man.
Yeah, I mean, working wonders. Kikuchi is stringing together really good outings. Like, there's...
He is.
Three earned runs in his last three games total. Like, over almost 18 innings. That's great.
He's still walking a few too many batters, but I think that he's limiting the damage. We haven't seen him give up a long ball. Both of those were his Achilles heel, was locating and the long ball, and he seems to have mitigated that. Listen, you say Kikuchi is still a work in progress. I think that's why they signed him to 3 years, is that they didn't think that this is a fix that's going to happen in 2 days. We'll see where it goes. Okay, we've got to give Kikuchi a little bit of rope here. He is our fifth starter. He is going through some mechanical changes.
Is he our fifth starter or is he our fourth starter, Scott?
I mean, it's all irrelevant, but yeah, I guess if you're going to just make a list of the starters we trust the most, he probably slots into number four right now, yes.
Yeah, I mean, just Kikuchi went from, like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, looking at Kikuchi in the schedule, felt like, well, let's pencil that one in for a loss. Right? Like, well, if we can get four innings and hopefully our bullpen doesn't get too exhausted. Right? That's kind of how it felt.
Yeah.
And now I just feel like, yeah, like I don't necessarily trust him to win a pitcher's duel, like, you know, going against Verlander or you know, just like, I don't know. He's not, man. But he's also not, like, killing us. And I'm thrilled with
that. The fans' confidence in him is up across the board, I think, as it should be. And you're starting to see him show a little more confidence as well. I think he really is feeling good about where he's at as a pitcher currently. He is really hammering that fastball in, which I think is one thing that he was kind of shying away from. You know, he fell in love with his cutter, and I think that was one thing that the hitters had adjusted to and were sitting on, right, is that cutter.
Yeah.
It's a good pitch. This is the thing. is it's a good pitch, but it's a good pitch for 15% of his throwing balls. When he starts to elevate that into the 30 to 40 percentile rate and guys can sit there and wait for the cutter, that's where he was getting in trouble. So, yeah, I'm with down to puck 69. I think that Kikuchi is looking really good. Robbie Ray won a Cy Young Award with us last year. Again, let's reel it in a little bit here. But, yes, he has looked very, very good.
All right. Talking about deep end, this one comes in from Northern Grower 4466. Says, now you guys are talking about moving Bo off of shortstop. Come on, show some support. He's a cornerstone of the franchise. He's not moving off shortstop for some rando. Jays fans don't deserve good players.
Do you want to jump in? Okay, so a little bit to unpack here. When he says you guys, I really hope that he's not talking about you and I, Adam, because that is not at all how we have talked about Bo Bichette over the last 2 years of doing this thing. In fact, any long-term walk-off listeners are probably even annoyed by how much we completely refuse to even entertain the idea of moving him off of shortstop. Bo Bichette is this franchise's shortstop going forward, bottom line. Until he is either extended or walks away in 2026 as a free agent, Bo Bichette is playing shortstop, and he should. We addressed some comments in the mailbag last week that were suggesting that possibly it should be considered because Santiago Espinal's defensive metrics are much better at this moment. They are so good. And I'm not taking anything away from Espy. He's been phenomenal. He's playing second base at an above league average rate. It's amazing. His bat has woken up.
So when we talk about moving Bo off shortstop, this is literally just addressing the chatter that is going on out there. And I wouldn't even say it's a majority of Blue Jays fans. I would say the majority of Blue Jays fans don't want to move Bo Bichette off shortstop. But the very vocal minority is, annoying about it. And here's, like, a perfect example. So Frank Zappa responded to this comment as well and said, are you crazy? Bo has more errors than all other shortstops combined, which, by the way, not true. Whether it be his limited range, weak, inaccurate arm, or his timidness. I'm not sure what that even means defensively. He is the worst defensive shortstop in Major League Baseball. He's protected by Chapman. Also not true. He's protected by Chapman, and Santiago is very underrated. I'd trade him now and get a decent return. This is, there's a lot of comments like this. It's not just Frank Zappa. There's a lot of frustration with Bo Bichette, and, like, understandably so. But, I mean, let's be real. He does not have more errors than all other shortstops combined. That's, doesn't even lead the majors in errors right now. Tim Anderson of the White Sox does. Tim Anderson, in his own right, pretty fucking good shortstop, by the way.
Yes.
Shortstop is a position that is fucking hard to play. It is probably, like, up there with catcher for, like, one of the hardest
positions. It's a premium position. There's catcher, there's shortstop, there's third base, and there's center field. And those are all premium positions. Those are all positions that even if you're elite, you're going to see more errors than any other position out there. I mean, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has been a runner-up for a gold glove 2 years in a row in left field, and I think all Blue Jays fans are aware that Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is no star in left field. I love Lourdes, and he's got a cannon of an arm, but every time there's a fly ball at field, or I shouldn't even say that, fly balls he's not too bad at. When as soon as that ball hits the turf in front of him, I'm always like, oh no, he's gonna misjudge this. Like,
so here's something I want to point out. Bo Bichette has 6 errors. He has played more games at shortstop than anyone else in baseball this year. Like, he is literally our everyday shortstop. Tim Anderson, who leads baseball in errors, only played 30 games, so he's had days off, right? So Bo Bichette tied for second in errors with 6. That's 3 off the lead. But like everybody, like you got to go pretty far down the list to find an everyday shortstop with not many errors. Like if we look at team errors committed by shortstop, right? So that combines Tim Anderson with the six games they got from whoever else and whatever, right? The league average number of errors committed, 5 by the shortstop position. The Blue Jays only have one more than that.
So like, he's one more than the league average.
So like, yeah, would you like to see him be a Gold Glove shortstop? Absolutely. That'd be great. But like,
also,
defensively that everybody's like, and I mean, we talked about it earlier. I don't know if this made the episode or not, but when comparing ourselves to like Yankees fans and Red Sox fans and whatever, right? Like it is always a much darker crisis when you're looking at your own team. Right?
Easy to be logical when you're looking at somebody else's team. Absolutely. Exactly.
So it can feel like such a gut punch every time Bichette bobbles it, boots it, throws it away. It feels like here we go again, when in reality, like errors from the shortstop position are inevitable. They're going to happen. They've happened historically. They've happened recently. Like it's going to happen. So...
Also, man, and I don't know, I think you agree with this, Bo's range is great.
Yeah.
He gets to so many balls that's a lot of shortstops wouldn't get to. It's almost hurting him. Like, here's the thing. Yes, his arm accuracy sometimes is lacking. I don't think it's an arm strength issue, personally. I think that he's going to be a great shortstop. By the time he's 28, 29 in his prime, he's going to be Marcus Semien. But the only way that you get to that point at Major League Baseball, at the level that these guys are playing at, is experience and being there.
Need the reps. Yeah, I mean, couldn't agree more. I think, I would like to see less errors from Bo Bichette. I don't know. I would like to see more home runs from Vladdy Guerrero. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, I would like to see more wins from this team. Like, yeah, let's, I don't know. It also feels worse because the team has been struggling. So like,
you know what? An error in a win is forgotten about instantly. Mm-hmm. It's true. An error in a loss is lamented and tossed around in the brain, and pretty soon you're just like, that error, right?
Hey, it's way easier to show a highlight of an error that costs us a run two batters later than it is to show, you know, the team combined to swing at 45 bad pitches out of the zone, right? It's like, well, which was more consequential, 100%. Right? But
yeah,
all right, we're both still in on Bo Bichette, I think, is the takeaway there. This episode is just going to be called the Bo Bichette Apology Hour.
Listen, do not trade Bo Bichette while he still has value is all I'm saying. That's a crazy take.
Yes. Should probably trade Alek Manoah and Vladdy too while we're at it. Just a 3-player package maybe. Okay. Next one comes in from Blue Birds, Blue Balls on Twitter. Great handle, by the way. I know you guys keep saying you don't care what Matt Chapman does offensively, but is that starting to change? Sure would be nice to see a little more offense out of him, in my opinion.
Adam, it would sure be nice to see a little more offense out of everybody, eh?
Yeah, sure would be. I mean, that doesn't even just apply to the Blue Jays. That applies to...
No, I was just going to say, right across the league.
As much as like the batting average is very ugly for Matt Chapman right now, guess what? He has the second most home runs on this team. Home runs are pretty significant, right? I've heard that pulled before. So Vladdy and George both have 7 home runs, but Matt Chapman has 6. That's the power in the bat we were talking about when we were bringing him in.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take away the dead ball issue that we're facing as a league, he probably has like 8 or 9 home runs. Yeah. And the batting average is going to be a few points higher just due to that fact. Look, batting average is down. When you look at it, it's like, and we talked about this before the show, Scott, It is hard to scale our brains mid-season to what is a good, what is an average, what is a below average, what are elite numbers for these statistical categories that we've been looking
at for 2022
decades, yes, right? So in our mind, we have, you know, 30 plus years of sports fandom where we're like 185, that's cuttable for a batting average, right?
Yeah.
Like literally the Mendoza line, 200. I mean, for anybody not familiar with the Mendoza line, the idea is that is the cutoff where it doesn't matter how good your defense is. If you're hitting below that, your defense cannot be good enough to make up for a batting average that bad. He's hitting 185, but like, I think just across the league, we have to start adding 20 points in our mind to what a good batting average is. Like Vladdy hitting 281. I feel like with this ball, with, you know, whether you want to blame the humidors or the umpires or all of it. And again, I'm not just trying to let the Blue Jays off the hook. This is across the league.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to adjust our expectations a little bit this year. And I think with batting average, we just add 20 points right off the top. Vladdy hitting 281 is great this year, right?
Yeah,
really good last year. It's great this year. It's a 300 batting average, right? Chapman, 185. Let's call it 205. Still not good, right? Still not good. But I think it's like not necessarily the same hole that it feels like when we look at it.
His on base percentage is around 270, which is not where you want to see Matt Chapman's on base percentage at either. But he does lead the team in walks.
He has quite a few strikeouts. He's second in strikeouts behind Bo Bichette, but has twice as many walks as Bo Bichette. So
his strikeout rate is also the lowest that it has been since 2018. He has improved his strikeout rate. Yeah. Matt Chapman, I guess long and short, no, to answer Blue Birds, Blue Balls on Twitter. No, I'm fine with where Matt Chapman's at. He has been phenomenal defensively. He has truly shored up this left side of the infield, especially with Bo Bichette, as we just had that long talk about him, especially with Bo Bichette being a little bit of a liability at shortstop currently. Mm-hmm. He's putting up the power numbers we expected him to put up. He's going to hit 30 home runs this year, even with a dead ball. He's getting his walks. He's hitting seventh in the lineup. I'm fine with what Matt Chapman is doing right now. I think he is going to take a step forward. His hard hit rate is and exit velo are above where they have been up until 2018 when he was having that huge year. I think we're going to see Matt Chapman turn a corner. And this is very similar to what we were just talking about with Bo Bichette. This whole team is slumping to such a massive level right now that everybody's slumps are magnified almost, you know, like when everybody's slumping, it just seems so much more detrimental when one guy is also, I don't know if I'm communicating this properly, but.
No, it feels bad, but I mean, the numbers are bad across the league. I mean, this isn't a perfect comparison, but it's the easiest one to make just because we replaced one infielder with another. So let's look at Marcus Semien just quickly here. Marcus Semien off to Texas, big money. Zero home runs this year. Batting average 160 right now. Like that's bad no matter what, right? That is nearly 100 points below his career batting average.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's this whole season. I mean,
Marcus Semien broke the major league record last year for most home runs by a second baseman.
45.
In the history of baseball, Marcus Semien broke the record, and he has yet to hit a home run. Wild times.
Wild times, man. It's a real thing for sure. All right, we got one last one here to get to, and I'm going to make you read this. This is a big rant from Mustard Tiger in Discord. Do you have it pulled up?
I do. Okay, so he starts with apologies in advance for the novel.
Appreciate
I'll
it.
I'll try and keep this brief. He does not. I think this team can be a playoff team. I think they can win the division. But this is very much a wake-up call. We aren't at the emergency point, but we are close if they keep playing the way they are. Even with the expanded playoffs, this race is going to be way more competitive than we anticipated. As it stands, we've got 9 teams, Yankees, Jays, Rays, Twins, Guardians, White Sox, Astros, Angels, and Seattle, actively competing for a playoff spot. It's realistic to assume that one of Detroit or Boston will, of course, correct and join the race. They're too heavily rostered to just be out of the picture in mid-May. Very true. This is going to be a dogfight all year. Furthermore, there are shades of 2021 here, where we had strong performances from our bullpen in April before the loose threads were pulled in May. Not the exact same now, but the lack of offense combined with a bullpen that has come down to earth a bit is leading to the same nightly awesome. How are we going to lose this 2-0 lead again? Games that we had last year. I would feel differently if our current record was achieved on the back of big bats and well-fought games where the opponents just had bigger nights than we did. But instead, it mostly feels like we've gotten lucky up until this point, and it's run out. We have the skill set in the rotation, lineup, and bullpen that we can be the best team in the league. Now it's time to put in the work to be the best team in the league. If you're religious or superstitious, light a candle. Shave your beard. Not happening.
Not happening.
Sleep on the other side of the bed. Do whatever you need to do to get the job done. It's time to make 2022 the next 2015 instead of 2013. Go Jays, go. Well put.
Yeah. I mean, it's not in
panic. It's crunch time.
Every day it feels like the question of the day is it time to panic? Should we be panicking? And the answer continues to be no. Like, it feels like we should be panicking, but again, logically, if we were looking at someone else's team, right? If you are a Chicago Whites fan coming on the walk-off podcast Long Toss, you'd probably be like, yeah, the Jays are going to be fine.
Yeah.
Should they make a drastic move? Probably not. They need to just work through it.
Yeah.
But that's it. This team does need to work through it, man. Like,
yeah.
We, again, should take 2 out of 3 against the Mariners. We've already taken one. So it's a pretty
easy task. Yesterday was encouraging.
To go 1-1 over the next 2 days. We've got to beat the Reds. 3-0. We got to take all 3 of those games. I don't care if they're ugly. We just need 3 wins. And then again, I mean, back into our schedule. But we need wins.
Berrios goes tonight. Gausman goes tomorrow into a series with the Reds. We've got this homestand currently going. I think this is the time, man. This is the time to turn it around. Yesterday looked really good. We saw a little bit of offense. We saw the bats come alive when Kikuchi needed it. Kikuchi pitched really well, 6 innings, 1 hit. We're going into the top of our order currently. I with Berrios and Gausman, I think this is it, man. I really am feeling more optimistic about where the Jays are headed. I know it's only one game, but just being back at home, having their own beds to sleep in.
Look, yes, I'm with you there, but I do want to brace a little bit. Like, the storm, the clouds are beginning to break. We have rays of sunshine coming through. We are feeling optimism that the storm is about to pass. Not to be the negative Nancy, but we can get through the Seattle series. We got to take care of business against the Reds. And then after that, we've got the St. Louis Cardinals. We've got the Los Angeles Angels for 4 games. And then the Chicago White Sox for 3. Mm-hmm. I think that is stormy weather again. I think the White Sox are better than they've been playing. So that'll be an interesting test because they're very similar to the Blue Jays,
yes,
in my opinion. I think in terms of talent and in terms of production and performance so far this year. The Angels are, I think, a bit overachieving, but we can't deny the fact that they're hot right now. I mean, they're on pace for 100 wins. You can't pretend like the Angels aren't a threat. They have three of the top 20 baseball players in the entire league on their team. That's going to be a challenge. If we, I don't want to get swept by the Angels, but we might lose that series. We might lose it 3-1. And I don't think that that needs to be, oh, here we go again, necessarily.
Yeah.
We're still in the process of bailing out the boat. We're bucketing water over the edge, right? But once we can get past the Angels, once we get past the White Sox, it is 13 very winnable games, man. It is the Reds, it is the Royals, it is the Tigers.
Yeah.
Those are the games where that's going to be, we got to get this, we got to find our rhythm. We got to find our confidence in our bats. And that's going to be a real test, because it's one thing to keep splitting series and, you know, win a series here and lose a series there. But, oh, we're competitive. We're in games. It's not going to matter if we're splitting with the Yankees, but the Yankees go 14-0 on that stretch. We have the same stretch and we go 8-6. So we've got to take care of business against those bad teams.
Agreed.
All right, man. Anything else to add?
That's everything. I had a bunch to say off the top, but we missed it.
I know. We lost about 20 minutes of gold there. I'm fucking sorry. All right.
It's all good, man.
Thanks, all everybody. Right, everybody. Are you? We're not doing a live stream tonight, hey? Because you're on vacation.
No.
Okay.
Are you? No. Okay.
Okay. We'll be back next week. You'll be back next week.
Yeah.
You and I doing our normal news show on Friday, but we're going to record that Thursday night, I believe, because you're traveling Friday.
Yes, sir.
And then we'll be back to normal. So everybody, you'll still see us Friday, and we'll go from there. Awesome. All right, good seeing you, man.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, everybody. Feel free to hit subscribe and like, comment all you want. You can always get a hold of us on Twitter to get your mailbag questions and comments in. That's at Walkoff Podcast. You can do the same thing on Instagram, the Walkoff Podcast. Drop your comments on the YouTube page, or you can join our Discord. It's always free, and it is in the show notes. There's, I think it's over 150 people now in Discord, constantly talking Jays. So if you are a baseball fanatic and maybe your friends aren't quite as into it as you are, it's a great way to kind of have that release, if you will.
Very good, sir. All right. Go Jays, go. Hopefully we win tonight in Seattle.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Oscar with a drive. Cheese and cracker shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.